You've tuned in to Naturopathic Earth Radio with certified health consultant and former obese child, A. Gregory Luna, where you get the latest on clean living, natural remedies, effective weight loss tips, and sound naturopathic principles from experts and biohackers from around the world and Gregory himself. Don't be a slave to Big Pharma. Break free of the shackles of Big Food and start your journey now to a long, vibrant, purposeful life. Become a citizen of Naturopathic Earth.
Hello, everybody. This is A. Gregory Luna. Of course, you can call me Gregory. And welcome back to another episode of Naturopathic Earth Radio. I hope you had a great Thanksgiving weekend, and hopefully you got some good discounts in the shopping land. Hopefully you didn't stay up too late on Thanksgiving night and you did your shopping this weekend. I am not that big of a shopper. And in particular, I'm not big of a shopper in person. I remember reading a study a couple decades ago, actually it was a long time ago, that said that the stress that men feel when shopping during Christmas season is equal to that of a fighter pilot. See, men and women, I think, are a little wired differently when it comes to shopping. Like, women tend to be able to just walk around, look at stuff, window shop. They don't know what they want. They look around and then they grab stuff. Men, we are like, we know what we want. We go in, we get it, we get out. It's like, we don't want to deal with the malls, just in general, or shopping. And nowadays, I think with online shopping, it's just so much easier. I mean, I think with clothes, it's still a problem. But with everything else, I mean, why have to go to the stores if you don't have to? And so that's why you see that rise in online shopping. Either way, we are not here to talk about shopping. We're here to talk about the sugar cover-up. The sugar cover-up as revealed by the Washington Post 4 days ago. Before we begin, the website's Naturopathic Earth. Let food be thy medicine. Let nature be thy healer. That's our motto. Go check out the articles. There's a lot of them. Also, you can hire me as a certified health coach. If you need one, as I've mentioned many times, I've lost a lot of weight and kept it off for 25 years or more. And some people have asked, like, why I don't push it on the podcast that much. And there's a couple of reasons. One, I like podcasting because I like to provide information to you guys. And I've listened to podcasts before where the first 10 minutes is that person pushing where they're going to be or all their products. Like I like WTF with Mark Maron, for example, but he does that for like 10 minutes. And so I just fast forward through all that. So to me, the point of the podcast is just to get information out, and you know where to find me. And if you are in need of some assistance, then reach out to me. And that's it. We don't really need to talk more about it. All right, so let's talk about the sugar conspiracy here. All right, now, none of what I'm going to talk about should be a big surprise to you guys, but since it was in the news and a reputable news source like the Washington Post discussed it, I thought it is good because it does relate to clean eating and having optimal health and all the things that we should all strive for. As I mentioned before, I tell my students, it's like, some of you want to be an accountant, some of you want to be a chef. Some of you don't know what you want to do or maybe won't, you know, work at all for all we know. But one thing we all have in common, every American, every human wants to live a long life, but also a quality life where we can be 85 years old, but still be ambulatory and still have function of our mind and our body. That's what we all strive for, regardless of what we want to do with our lives in general, vis-a-vis our occupation. So this article, which I will glean from the Washington Post, is reports claim sugar industry hid connection to heart disease for decades. Well, yeah. In the 1960s, a debate began over the effects of sugar and fat on cardiovascular disease. Researchers say that the sugar industry, wanting to influence the discussion, funded research to look into sugar consumption. And when it found data suggesting that sugar was harmful, the powerful industry pointed a finger at, now, which of the three macronutrients you think it's going to be? Carbs, proteins, or fats? So what's the sugar industry going to say is a thing that gets us sick? Ding, ding, ding. Fats, of course, fats. And we are still lingering with this idea that fats are bad for us. Of course, trans fats are very bad for us, but even saturated fats are not necessarily bad for us, depending on where they're coming from. And then the unsaturated fats, the PUFAs and MUFAs, overall are good for us. But because of this cover-up, which we'll talk about in a second, everyone has this idea that grains were good for us. Again, going back to Ansel Keys, the icon of the grain / sugar / vegetable oil lover proponent industry. We should just call it the Ansel Keys military industrial complex and all the people that pushed his mindset. Because of that, you know, we've had this problem with diabetes and heart disease and cancer. But let's continue. In an investigation published Tuesday, which was November 20th, in the journal PLOS Biology, researchers from the University of California at San Francisco claim that newly uncovered historical documents indicate the industry never disclosed the findings of its work and effectively misled the public to protect its economic interests. This is not a surprise, right? Big pharma is notorious for this. Big plastics, big chemical, big business, big everything, big hospital, big puppies. You know, for all we know, big air. They are always covering up stuff. After examining the sugar industry's internal documents, the University of California researchers said that in a 1968, the Sugar Research Foundation, which has organizational ties to the Sugar Association, funded animal research to explore the link between sugar consumption and cardiovascular disease. Rats were fed a high sugar diet and were found to have increased levels of triglycerides, fatty substances in the bloodstream. In humans, high triglyceride levels can increase the risk of heart attack and stroke. The research also found a connection between sugar consumption and an enzyme associated with bladder cancer. In their investigation, the UCSF researchers said it is likely that the Sugar Research Foundation, which is the lobby group, was unhappy with findings associating sugar with chronic disease and what those findings could mean for humans. So it chose to end the study and did not publish its results. One of the investigation's authors, Stanton Glantz, told the New York Times that while the documents are several decades old, they are significant as they show how long the sugar industry has spent de-emphasizing sugar's effect on health. Quote, "This is continuing to build the case that the sugar industry has a long history of manipulating science," close quote. The Sugar Association criticized Suze's report and said in a statement that it was not a study but a perspective, quote, "a collection of speculations and assumptions about events that happened nearly five decades ago," close quote. It also called the researchers, quote, "known critics of the sugar industry," close quote. Okay, well, who's not a critic of the sugar industry? Aside from like five-year-old kids who want to suck on lollipops all day and people who want to live in Willy Wonka's chocolate factory with all the trees being made of candy. I mean, come on. This is why I despise lobbyists in general, because they are paid to manipulate people. And it's just so frustrating. The sugar industry has long denied that sugar has any specific role in chronic disease. The research suggests otherwise. The Sugar Association issued a statement in early 2016 criticizing a University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center study. That's where my father used to be a cancer doctor, MD Anderson. Study suggesting that sugar in Western diets increased the risk of breast cancer tumors and metastasis, which is the spreading of cancer. So the Sugar Association criticized an MD Anderson study saying that, oh, there might be a link between sugar and cancer. We have known for quite some time, it is common knowledge now, that a high sugar diet fuels tumor growth. It fuels tumor growth. So they've known this. So, but again, the lobbyists got to come out and defend their cancerous, crappy devil's food, devil sweetener, even to the detriment of public health policy. The researchers claim that the sugar industry misled the public mirror accusations the tobacco industry faced. A trial was held in 2004 to determine whether tobacco industry officials had intentionally deceived Americans for years into thinking that smoking did not cause cancer, despite acknowledging the dangers of smoking among themselves. 8 months later, the tobacco industry was asked to pay $10 billion over 5 years to help Americans quit smoking. The penalty was less than 8% of what the government had asked for when proceedings began. I'm glad they bring this up because if you watch Mad Men, if you watch any show that took place in the 40s, 50s, and 60s, it was lauded. I mean, even in the beginning, there were some advertisers saying that smoking was actually good for your body. So after all these decades and after getting all these people hooked on smoking and all these innumerable, inestimable deaths, then, only then does this lawsuit come out, and then the tobacco industry's like, guys, we're recovering. Oh, yeah, we'll pay $10 billion. $10 billion is nothing. It is nothing after the amount of money they have made off of us. So the sugar industry is just mirroring the exact same thing, tobacco. And all these industries mirror it. They get away with what they can get away with. And then when they get caught, they're like, what? We didn't know. And then, or they just settle out of court, something quiet. They pay off a lot of people with the money and just let it get away, let it go away in the media. And then we can continue our insidious exploitation of people. I mean, this goes to phthalates. This goes to fluoride in the water. This goes to PFCs and Teflon. We talked about that, how they've been planning to ban it for 7 years to give time for the Teflon makers to keep making money off of Teflon, even though they know Teflon is highly pernicious to the respiratory system and is carcinogenic and is an endocrine disruptor. But they're like, yeah, we'll ban it in 2020, when they decided this 6 years ago. Tuesday's report isn't the first time that decades-old documents appear to show that the sugar industry distorted medical research. A 2015 report published in the journal PLOS Medicine described a national campaign in the 1960s to boost cavity prevention and a government research program created to curb tooth decay. But instead of encouraging people to eat less sugar, the government, swayed by sugar industry interests, no doubt bribes to politicians, because that's essentially what lobbyists do, pushed alternative methods such as ways to break up dental plaque and vaccines for fighting tooth decay. In 1964, the group now known as the Sugar Association looked for ways to soften, quote, negative attitudes towards sugar, close quote, after studies began linking sugar with heart disease. The group approved Project 226, in which it paid Harvard researchers today's equivalent of $50,000 to write an article reviewing those studies. The article, published in 1967, concluded that there was no doubt that the only dietary intervention needed to prevent heart disease was reducing cholesterol and saturated fat. The researchers, because they were bribed, right? $50,000. The researchers played down the effects of sugar, according to an analysis of historical documents published in the journal JAMA Internal Medicine. So, yeah. So, cholesterol, saturated fat, this goes back to Ansel Keys, right? Oh, don't eat those eggs. Don't eat the bacon. Don't eat the meat. When there's never been a study showing that a high intake of cholesterol-laden food actually leads to high cholesterol levels in the body. This goes back to several podcast episodes we've talked about in the past. And there's like so many paradigms, guys, that we need to flip, because there's still people who are like, oh, I shouldn't be eating bacon. I shouldn't be eating eggs. High cholesterol. No, you get high cholesterol and high triglycerides from sugar. Sugar. The Sugar Association said in the 1960s research cited in Tuesday's report ended for three reasons. It was too expensive, it was significantly delayed, and the delay interfered with the organizational restructuring of the Sugar Research Foundation, which would eventually become known as the International Sugar Research Foundation. Wow, just add that I, right? Add that international, makes a complete difference. Kristen Kearns, an author of the investigation, told NPR that the sugar industry continues to have a lot of money and influence, which it uses to downplay nutritional guidelines, such as those limiting added sugar to no more than 10% of daily caloric consumption. Had the data found in the 1968 study been made public, sugar may have been looked at under more critical lens in the years. All right, so look, 10% of our total calories should come from sugar. I've mentioned this, I think, in the Eat Clean Pantry or maybe perhaps the review of non-sugar sweeteners. So that's roughly, in a woman's diet, 50 grams of sugar, of added sugar that we're supposed to eat a day. No more than 50 grams. And this is infinitesimally low when you look at most of the processed foods and how they have a lot of hidden sugars. Not just condiments like honey mustard and barbecue and ketchup, but spaghetti sauce, for example. Not to mention all the cereals and all that stuff like that. So when that recommendation came down from the FDA about how we should only get our calories from 10% of our diet from sugar, the sugar industry came out against that. They're like, no, that's way too low. It's like defense attorneys. You know, not to go off topic, but I just finished watching The People versus OJ, the one that's got John Travolta and David Schwimmer and everybody. Not the actual documentary on OJ. And it's like when you watch that, it's so clear that OJ was guilty. And the thing is, not to go way off topic, I was in college when that verdict came out. And I remember being in front of a television, which a bunch of people, just like they showed in the last episode, and we were all watching with bated breath to see what the verdict was. But if, when you watch the show, it's so clear that the defense attorneys, they're unctuous demons like Johnny Cochran. They knew they had no leg to stand on, so they had to use the race car, they had to use conspiracy theories and all these other things. And I'm not saying that Johnny Cochran wasn't some civil rights pioneer, but clearly they were extremely unctuous, oily, as they say. And to tie this back to the sugar, again, all these lobbyist groups, all of them have oily, unctuous defense attorneys and PR campaign people, advertising companies that will come and defend them all the time to manipulate the public. So let's finish up this podcast with a little more of a diatribe for me. Okay, so what are some of the takeaways here, guys? One, none of this is surprising. If any of you guys pay any attention to any of these kind of things, a lot of anys in this sentence, you know that big business looks out for themselves. Okay, even look at Black Friday shopping. You really think you're getting a discount? All they do is mark up the price and then they tell you it's 60% off. You're like, oh, this is a good deal. They've just marked up the price to make you think that. It's all manipulation. All these companies just want your money at whatever expense it is. And unfortunately, vis-a-vis this episode, it's our health. It's our health. So clearly we know sugar is bad for us. But the bigger problem is that we don't need the sugar industry to push us to eat sugar because sugar tastes good and it's highly addictive. It is highly addictive. How many studies have come out that show that sugar, when you eat sugar, you get the same dopaminic high that you do from taking drugs, from taking cocaine? It is highly insidious. So it's like we don't need a sugar industry or Coke to have commercials ad nauseum during football games or on primetime television encouraging us to eat that or eat ice cream or whatever, because we are hooked on it. And really, you have to make a concerted effort not to eat a lot of sweets. On a side note, my students, I have them do this competition where we divide the class into three or four groups, and I tell each group, go find an item that has the highest amount of sugar per serving, and whichever group brings in the item with the highest amount by the end of the week gets some bonus points. And so they really get into this endeavor, and they are astonished because we do one for beverage and one for food. So you have to bring in per serving. So you can't bring in like a 2-liter Pepsi because there's going to be probably maybe 8 servings. But you know, they manipulate the serving sizes all the time. So when you like, cereal is notorious for this. You look on the back of cereal, you're like, oh, this only has 7 grams of sugar. Yeah, well, look at the serving size. They reduced it from 1 cup to 1/2 cup. And so you really got to double that. Anyway, so they come back and they are astonished. You can find drinks like Fanta, Big Red, if you guys are living in a country that has Big Red, 85 grams of sugar in one serving, one 16-ounce bottle, which is essentially the standard size now for sodas and sweet teas. It's no longer 12-ounce cans. 90, you can get 90 grams of sugar in one drink. And then if you're looking at food, you could go like honey buns have 35, 40 grams, just that. I mean, we're only looking at processed food, so food that has the nutritional information on the back. We're not counting like if you go to Dairy Queen and get an extra large Blizzard. You know, it's probably going to have more sugar than that. Also, Lunchables, astonishingly enough, have tons of sugar as well. So my takeaway is this. We know sugar's bad for us. We don't need this gigantic Washington Times expose to tell us that it's bad for us. But it's just another glimpse into the manipulation that is done by big business to cover up information at the expense of our health. And then they are aided and abetted by paid off politicians, paid off watchdog organizations like the CDC, which, you know, let's not even talk about vaccines in the CDC, but the USDA, FDA, CDC, World Health Organization. And they aid and abet them because normally, if you look at the chair people of these organizations, they're former big business people in it. And they just do the revolving door where they do some time in some organization like the FDA, USDA, CDC, and then they go back to whatever company they're coming from. And then they just go back to the FDA, and then lots of times they just approve whatever experimental additive or experimental drug that was being produced by the company they used to work at. It's just so insidious. It's so insidious. So my last note is, guys, just, you know, caveat emptor, right? Let the buyer beware. And we need to have just a high level of discernment every time we go to the grocery store, every time you take a prescription drug, anytime you pretty much do anything. You got to have a high level of discernment because there's so much corruption that's involved in our food and in our household and our toiletries and our cosmetics. And we really just got to just try to pursue naturopathic approaches to it, try to find natural remedies or natural cleaners or try to eat as clean as you can and buy organic and all these other things. And not to say that the organic industry, the organic labeling is not susceptible to corruption, because there have been cases where a lot of things are branded organic and they're not. But I mean, it's the best we can do. We can't go and live on a ranch in Montana and use a crossbow or be like Katniss Everdeen and go hunt our own animals and eat it. I mean, we don't really live in that society anymore. So guys, the last thing I do want to mention is, aside from sugar is bad, please go post a review for Naturopathic Earth Radio and for Confessions of an Obese Child and for Kate's Apothecary. Kate, we'll hopefully do an episode soon on either an essential oil or one for Mindfulness Monday. I know she hasn't done one in 6 weeks or so, but you know, she's very busy. She has a lot of children and she's a teacher and so forth. So please post a review. We would appreciate that. And also, I just recently made a t-shirt and a mug and some bumper stickers. So I'm kind of excited for MPE Radio, so I can start putting those up or wear them and stuff like that. Just something geeky like that that I get into. So guys, always reach out, contact me through social media or through the website. I would appreciate that. Until next time, guys, take care. God bless. Bye-bye.
Earth Radio. Visit us at www.naturopathicearth.com. Follow us on Twitter at Naturopath Earth and subscribe to us on iTunes. Don't forget to leave a review. And remember our core belief at naturopathicearth.com. Let food be thy medicine, let nature be thy healer. See you next time. Music courtesy of Art of Escapism.